praise God. I feel some people are overwhelmed. I feel some people are tired. But God says that He will calm the storm and He will bring peace. That's for a lady. A lady. Okay, so a lady, you are overwhelmed, you know, and you are getting tired. And God said, I will calm the storm and peace will come upon the same, and there shall be a great harvest. Okay. And God is saying to somebody else, He says, celebrate your wins. You know, I think this is a man now. I'm not sure, but it looks like a man. He says, celebrate your wins. You sorrow so much over your failings and your failures and your weaknesses and your losses. And God is saying to you this morning, celebrate your wins. In celebrating your wins, you are celebrating my faithfulness. In celebrating your wins, you are celebrating the treason of my word. And in that celebration, another testimony will come. In celebrating the win, it's like you are putting a stone as a memorial of victory. A stone as a memorial of what I've done. When you do that, and you remember that, then I will give you more success and more victory. Stop crying over your failures, over your disappointment, over that which has not come. You celebrate the things I've done and do not forget. And I will do new things. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. I don't know whether that's for you, but I feel I should share that with somebody. Amen. Okay, so I bring to us very quickly once again from the scriptures, turn your Bible once again to 2 Timothy. And I'm going to read a verse of those verses that I read last week. And so the dash. I want to rest this today. I have many dimensions. Like I study some more, I see more dimensions of this topic that I can bring to us. That I'm going to preach this second day. I can have a revisit some other time. But this is critical because this is about your life. It's about your destiny. The question is, what are you living for? That's when I rounded up last week. Are you living for yourself or you are living for the glory of the Lord? That's a vital question that you and you only will have to be able to answer. Are you living for yourself? Living for your dreams, living for your own desires alone, or you're living for the glory of the Lord. The right way to live is to live for His glory. The right way to live is to live His purpose. And so I need to do some mental mind adjustment again and again, especially when I'm rounding this up today, and to answer the question, who are you living for? And you find out that you're not living for God or you're not living right, it's an opportunity for you to have some adjustment, you know, and be able to reconcile, recalibrate, you know, and redefine your life. To know that you're living for His glory and His glory alone. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 5. You know, I read 7 attributes of a believer last week. I talk about the fact that you're a son. I talk about the fact that you're a soldier. I talk about the fact that you're an athlete. I talk about the fact that you're a farmer. I spoke the fact that you're a worker. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 21, you're a vessel. And lastly, you're a servant. Those are the 7 attributes of a Christian in one. As you're standing as a believer, those are various aspects of your life. And I remember I said to Ross, not only that, I said to Ross that you will realize that one of them is talking about your relationship. All the other aspects are talking about the demands of God for your life. You know, things that God wants you to do. Things that God wants you to be. You know, those are the other aspects. You know, but most of the time we all stay at the position of sonship. You know, you revel. You know, you enjoy. But at the same time, you don't know that In you, I see some other aspects. And God expects you to be able to perform those aspects. He wants you to be a worker. On Tuesday, at Bible study, I was talking about this a bit. And I want you to go and listen to that if you are not at the Bible study on Tuesday. The work of a believer is confession. You know, I said that much, you know, to us on Tuesday. And so, that's one aspect that God wants you to be. But today, I want to zero in. You know, as I press further on this topic, verse 5, he said, and if a man also strive for mastery, yet is not crowned except he strive lawfully. This is the aspect of a believer that is connoting you as an athlete. This is the aspect of a life that is saying that you are an athlete. And that's what I want to press on. Again, Hebrews, very quickly, chapter 12, and I'm going to read a verse. I read again from that last week. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus the author and the finisher of our faith, who was his. Okay, Okay, so verse 1, not verse 2. Okay, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with such great a cloud of witnesses. Okay, let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which doth easily beset. And the Bible says, let us run. You underline in your Bible, let us run. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, you know, you run. You strive for masteries. You strive for masteries. And this one is talking about you run. You run. He said, let us run with patience. The race that is set before us. The race that is set before us. And so, what the Bible is saying here, say you underline it. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, not the race you set before yourself. Not the race that you choose to run. Yes, the race that is set before you. The race that is set before you is your purpose. The race that is set before you is what God wants you to be, who God wants you to be, what God wants you to achieve, you know, in His will, in His purpose. And so the race set before you is your purpose. It's the desire of God for your life. That is the race, you know, that is set before you. Praise God. Not only that, and I said last week, I said, we are all in a race. The dash is the space between your birth and your death. Remember I said last week, it is the space, it is the X between your birth and your death. So, surely, as we were birth, so also we will die. But the most important thing is not the birth and it's not the death. The most important thing is what you achieve, what you give, how you spend your beginning, you know, and the end. And that is critical. That is what is going to define us in eternity. That is going to define who we are going to be in eternity. And that's why I'm sharing this with us this morning, so that the space between the birth and death, we'll be able to use it to the glory of God. So from the birth to death, God has given us a race to run. So, in that space, we are actually in a race. We are actually in a race. Your race is your purpose. And that's why I said last week that we are all running a race. Whether you know it, whether you don't know it, whether it's clear or it's not clear, the truth of the matter, and that's why I'm preaching this so you can say light, is that we are all running a race. Your race is your purpose. So let me put it in another way. That the race is you to discover and to fulfill purpose. That is the race. That is what is set before you. I remember I said last week that the tragedy of life is not death. The worst thing that can happen to man is not death. The worst that can happen to man is for you not to understand purpose. That is the worst. That is the greatest tragedy, you know, that can befall man. It's not death. If a man will not understand purpose, if a man will not live purpose, that's the man we should be crying for. That is the man we should be sorrowing over. It is not the man that has passed on. So the greatest tragedy of life is when you don't understand purpose. And so we are creators of purpose. God created you to fulfill purpose. As a matter of fact, you were born because there's a purpose to be fulfilled. That's how people were born. There's a purpose. There's a desire. There's a gap. There's something that God wants to achieve. And then your mom got pregnant of you. Pregnancy is not about today. You know, we define it. They said, you know, we've done family planning, but something happened. You understand? Nothing happened. The only thing that happened is that there's a purpose. And God looks for a couple through which the purpose will be birthed. And so, when a baby is born, a purpose is born. Not only a child that is born, a purpose is delivered. And parents, you know, we need to know this. And children, I want you to know this. The youth and the young ones amongst us this morning, I want you to know that your life is purpose. Your birth is purpose. And you must fulfill it. And the responsibility of parents is to ensure, to guide, to train, to teach, to nurture our children to fulfill purpose. Parents become failures when your children fail to achieve purpose. That is the greatest failure of a parent. When your children will miss purpose, then your life has become a wish. Whether you're a pastor, whether you're an evangelist, whosoever you are, the moment your children walk out of purpose and they fail purpose, you fail. The question has to be asked you, what's the essence of the sermon? What's the essence of evangelism you've done? What's the essence of teaching you've done? If you say you're a teacher, if your children will miss out on purpose, then that's a major failure of life. Glory to God. I remember I said to us last week, but in the race of life, we have an advantage. Praise God. Jesus is the advantage in the race of life. You know, and last week, you remember, I gave us an example of Olympics was still on, you know, last week. They were running up on some races, and I gave us an example of what an advantage is. If you are doing 400 meters, you are doing 4x100, 4x400, you know, I gave us an example. If you're in lane one or lane two, it's an advantage, you know, in relay race. Jesus put us on lane one, lane two. That is the advantage that we have. And I don't want us to forget that. As you run your race, as you live your life, don't forget that you have with you the advantage. We fail in the race of life. We fail in the course of life when you forget and you don't run with the advantage. You have to live your life knowing that there is an advantage that you have, and Jesus is that advantage. Philippians chapter 3. Now I want us to see some lessons in the life of Paul the Apostle. Philippians chapter 3. I read practically the whole chapter last week, but I'm going to just read some few this week. From verse 9, Philippians chapter 3, from 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. This is underlined my Bible because I asked you to do same last week. And be found in me, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Say to your neighbor, I follow after. Turn to another neighbor, say, I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Say to your neighbor, one thing I do. Another neighbor, one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. Let us therefore, I like this, as many as is perfect, be thus minded. Let us therefore, as many as be mature, be thus minded. In other words, let us have the same mind that I have. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so I want to push this mind into your mind. I want to get these thoughts of Paul, into your mind, so that we can be minded as Paul was minded and he was able to run his race. We all know, number one, that Paul was Saul. And Saul had a purpose. The purpose of Saul was to persecute the church. Bring down the church, pull it down, destroy it. And he was doing that very well. Because that was what he knew to do. That was the way he knew to live his life. That was what he taught God asked him to do. Until the day that he had encounter. And so when he had encounter with Christ, there was a change of purpose. And so the first thing I want to say to you this morning is that purpose is given by God. That's the first thing I want you to know. That's a very simple statement, but it's loaded. Now, you need to get that. Because the Bible says, he said, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you. And so, it is not your own thoughts. Life is not about your own plan. You need to get this point. Because, you see, we have rascals as believers these days. People that are rebellious, recalcitrant, beyond control, beyond mentoring. We have believers that will tell you that it's my life. You have believers that you can't call to order. You have men and women, that are vagabonds. Because they see that their life is about their life. You say, it's my life, I can live it anyhow. Nobody can talk to you. Nobody can correct you. You are not submissive. You are actually rebellious. It's because you don't understand this. You think that your time is your time. You think your life is your life. You think your money is your money. And somebody wants to say to you, oh, pay your tithe. You say, it's my money. I can spend it anyhow. I can't give. In fact, somebody will say to me, he said, I distribute my tithe. If my tithe, oh, I give it to many places. I give it to many places. Many places. Those are examples of people that don't understand the fact that their life and their living is a lease. Your life, your living is a lease. Your life does not belong to you. Your living is a privilege. If I can get this into your heart, I'll be okay this morning. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. It's not the thought that you have. We all have many thoughts. We all have many plans. We all have many desires. We all have many goals. But the space of the dash, the most important, is the thoughts God has towards you.
It is the plan of God for your life. It is the counsel. Hebrews chapter 12, he said, you run with patience the race that is set. It's not the race that you set. I don't know whether you crave, whether you are afraid of the fact that you appear before God on the last day and then begin to give account of all the things you've done. And you hear God say, shut up, boy. I never sent you to do all those things. You've done very well in all the things you mentioned. But God opened his book. He said, these are my thoughts. You didn't do any of them. This is the race. You run somebody else's race. I don't know whether when you think about that, you get afraid sometimes. And say, am I doing what God expect me to do? Or am I doing my own thing? A lot of us, we do our own thing. A lot of us, you set your own race. Some of us say, I don't want anybody to come into my space. Which space you have that was not given to you? What privilege do you have that was not given to you? What blessings do you have that was not given to you? So the first point I want us to see this morning is the fact that the race is the race that is set by God. The race is to achieve purpose. The purpose is the purpose that was given by God. You know, God talking to Jeremiah, he said, in the womb I have called you. You don't call yourself. You haven't called yourself. It's the one that did the calling. It's not even the pastor. The pastor can recognize the call and help you to achieve it. It's not the pastor that gave you a call. It's not your father that gave you a call. The father is just a channel for you to come. God gave the call. God gave the time. God gave the purpose. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you don't have eternity to fulfill your purpose. Do you realize in the life of this man that we are studying this morning, at a stage in his life, he said, I have fulfilled my purpose. I fulfilled my dream. He could say that because he understood what he was called to do. He understood the assignment. May he never be your portion. That the day you are closing your eyes, that was the day you realized the way you should have spent your life. That becomes a waste. That becomes a disaster. That is the reason we should cry for you, even not because you are going to die. On the day, or nearly your death, you just realize, I did not run my race. It was Kenneth Hagin in one of his books. He went to do, you know, crusade in a certain church. And after the crusade, you know, the rich man in the church, he said, can you come to my house for dinner? And they got into the house, but the dinner was messed up. Because they said, let's pray over the dinner. And they prayed over the dinner. And the rich man started crying. And Kenneth Hagin said, why are you crying? He said, what you are doing is what God asked me to do many years ago. But I did not do it. God called him into the ministry, but never fulfilled ministry. But see, he was fulfilled in his chosen career. He decided to give himself a career. He decided to give himself a race. He decided to give himself a purpose. And that's why we should be afraid of God. He prospered. He prospered. He did well. But when he was nearing the end of his life, he was also Papa Ebi. He said, this is what God actually asked me to do. What a regret. The man would have wished that he would roll by the hands of time and then begin to do what he knew that God wanted him to do. I know there are some people seated here like that this morning. That's why you are hearing. You are running away from God's purpose. You are running away from God's desire. You are running away from rebuke. You are running away from correction. You are running your life the way you want. You are running your businesses the way you want. Running your families the way you want. God is going to hold you account. But you are hearing now before the day of account so that you can adjust. That's why you are here this morning. Because the day you appear before God, you know, like I was saying the other time, when the man returns and said, the talent, give account. He was late. The man will one time cannot say, I'm sorry. Ejo, let me go back. I want to use the talent. No! The time to use the talent is a season. The time to give account is a season. You can't mix the two seasons. This is the time you have to invest your talent. Because the time of account is coming very soon. And I'm calling you to say loud this morning, what race are you running? Whose race are you running? Whose desire are you fulfilling? That's the first. God met. He was doing well destroying the church. He was doing well, you know, pulling down churches. He thought he was doing something fantastic. But it was his purpose that he was running. But God saw the zeal. God saw that the zeal which this man is killing Christians and church. If I encounter him, and he carried the same zeal, things will change in the body. And that's what happened. When God appeared to Paul, Saul, you know what he said? A man under authority. You need to learn this morning. A man under authority. A man under submission. When God encountered him, you know what he said? What do you want me to do? That's a man under authority. I've been doing this. He now met a man in Jesus. He knows the way to relate in life is to relate with a mandate. He has seen. I've been doing this before. That was what I knew how to do. Kill Christians. Disorganized crusade. You know, throw stones at them. Destroy them. And so when he met another master, he said, okay, what is the new mandate? Ever since the day you gave your life to Christ, have you asked that question from God? Have you said to God, what is the mandate? Or you are just doing roller coaster. If you are back to the landlord, ibi afefe to ba gbe wa si ibi je aye to ba ru o si ibe na lo nlo. No, you ask God. God, why did you encounter me? Or are you trying to say you are better than some unbelievers outside, people that have not come to the grace of God, people that have not understood the grace of God, whom have not come into the fold? Are you better than them? Are you richer than them? Is your family better connected? Or your family poorer than their own family? And so when you come, the question, God, why? Have you answered the question, why? Isaiah 42, verse 6, God spoke to me. He said, I've called you to be an evangelist to the nations. I heard very clearly. Since that time, my role was strict. When I met my wife, she's here. She's a witness. In medical school, we met. And I said to her, I said, even though we are meeting in medical school, I'm first of all a servant of God before a doctor. I've been to most of all. First of all, so that because we met in medical school, don't think that he's going to be a professor of medicine. Don't think that he's doing postgraduate, he's doing intergraduate, and then I'm a gay kukakiri. I know how to do all those things, but I said to her, first of all, so when we were to start a church, she did not have any issue with it. Because it's a discussion we had before we got married. That is my purpose, to preach the gospel. And God spoke to me. That's why I quoted Isaiah chapter 42. God said to me, you have been called evangelist to the nation. You've been called a preacher, you know, of the gospel. He said, through your hands, I'm going to wrought dimensions of miracles. I said, yes, sir. That day, my focus became one. My direction became one. mi e da si gbogbo nkan because momo bi mo nlo. That was when we had a storm, you know, in our mother church the other time when pastor was away. I stayed because I know what God has said to me. I want to know. You don't blame people that run away because if you don't know why God has called you and what he's called you for, everything becomes your priority. Did you hear that? When you don't understand purpose, everything becomes your priority. You must know what God has called you for. When God encountered him, his direction changed. And that's why I said to you last week, I'm going to repeat it. Purpose begins when Jesus encountered you. That's when purpose begins. Purpose begins when you give your life to Jesus. His purpose did not start. It's when he met Jesus, his purpose began. And he said, that I may know him. He said that I will win Christ. That is my purpose. And that's why he left everything. See chapter 5. See verse 5. He said, he wants to talk about my CV. Look, he was talking to some people. You don't have a CV that is better. You don't have qualification that is better. You haven't done like I've done. He said, we are talking about circumcision. I was circumcised the 8th day. He said, whereof, verse 3, that I might also have confidence in the flesh. In other words, I can betray my CV. That's confidence in the flesh. I can talk about who I am, what I've achieved, what I've attained. Do you understand that? Like some people, they do. They talk about their achievement. They talk about their records. You know, he said to us last week, you must follow at least. You must follow, you know, sports sometimes. You know that in sports, one of the things they do is to break records. You don't know that? The man that is holding the world record, he wants to break his own record. In the race of life, records are meant to be broken. Are you hearing me? And that is why the pride of a believer should not be in hardly attainments. Because all those things we fail. My wife this morning was talking to me about a structure. And somebody said, I thought I had fantastic structure. And said, when I see this structure, my own structure is no structure. That is life. That is what life is meant to be. If you think you are doing well, somebody is coming that will do better. If you think that you set some mark, somebody is coming, he will break your mark, set another mark. And somebody comes, they will break that mark, set another mark. So why will you glory in hardly achievement? He said, I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh I had whereof, he said, he might trust in the flesh. He said, I'm on. In other words, he wants to talk about hardly attainment. He wants to talk about records. Say, have more. We are talking about circumcision. Circumcised the 8th day. If you are talking about where I came from, I'm a son of Israel. Jews were the proud people of the. You don't see a Jew in those days walking like this. A wonini delay Jew. Even call man cool up. That's the way Jews they were, because they thought that the kingdom was strong for them. That was when they were trying to fight Paul when he came into the fold. You know, Paul was preaching to the Gentiles. He was ministering to the Gentiles. But Jews said, why are you sharing? Where are you sharing Christ? Why are you talking to those vagabond non-entities? He said, no, you know, the blessing belongs to us. It is for us. You know, you remember that woman? When they said, no, the food is not for you. He said, no, this food is not actually for me. But the crumbs, do you know there's no way you eat without crumbs? Hello? No matter how well your mama taught you on how to eat, no matter how well Oyibo people have taught you on how to eat, there must be crumbs. That's how Igbo people too, when they want to eat, because there must be crown. You don't get it. And that's why the woman said, he said, yes, I don't want to come to the table. I'm not qualified to come to the table. But look, the crumbs that will come is enough. And that Jesus said, I've never seen this kind of faith before. He said, we are talking about that. I am from Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews. He said, touching the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees are professors of Mosaic law. He said, you want to talk about all those things you don't have? He said, concerning zeal. Can you see verse 6? Ladies and gentlemen, look into your Bible. He said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He was talking about fire. He was talking about commitment. He was talking about Boko Harami. He was talking about, do you get? He said, we are talking about those things. You know, I persecute the church. He killed him, he killed him, Jew. He said, persecute the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law. Blameless. I keep the law. He said, I'm blameless. But he said, but when you see but, there's a turnaround. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. He said, the moment I came to know Jesus, I trashed my CV. How many of you here have trashed your CV? Are you not egoistic about your worldly achievement? Egoistic about your color? Egoistic about your clothing? Egoistic about the car you ride? Egoistic about your children are better than some other people's children? He said all those things. I count as nonsense. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't trash yourself, you cannot gain Christ. You know what he said in the book of Timothy? He said that Christ might increase in me and I might decrease. It has to be like that. The two of us cannot be decreasing. Christ will not be increasing if and when you are increasing. One has to go down. If you are increasing, Christ will be decreasing. That's the way it is. The two of you cannot be increasing. The call to Christianity is a call of daily death. Daily denial. That is the core of Christianity. The day you became a believer, that day you started to die to sin. And as I said to people, you know, I don't worry. There's no problem. And I said to Christian leaders, I say, don't bother about the state you met the Christian. Be bothered if that Christian is not changing. And as you are long, as you produce yourself, you present yourself before the world, and you allow the world to be working its purpose in you, you find out that gradually you begin to die. Gradually you begin to die. Gradually you begin to die. I've heard some of us said, if not for Jesus, last year, if this thing had happened, I would have reacted this way. I said, thank God for your life. You are dying. A lot of fightings, they come in an environment where people are not dying. The more we die, the better we become. The faster we realize purpose, and the faster we be at risk. You know what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12? He said, let us leave weights. Let us leave sin. You can't run a 100-meter dash like Brother Elijah has dressed. You can't run a 100-meter dash wearing what I'm wearing. What Brother Elijah's wearing is not a sin, but in the dash of life, that is a weight. Did you get it? That is a weight. There's a way an athlete dresses. There's a way an athlete looks. Now, your dress, your look, begin to conform on daily basis as you die. In other words, Brother Elijah will put off his suit, is conforming, isn't it? Brother Elijah will put off the tie, is conforming, isn't it? He will put off his shoe and look for sneakers, is conforming, isn't it? That is the way a life should be. Get dressed and get properly dressed. It's all these things. I left them. So that I may win Christ. See the end of verse 8. So that I may win Christ. Number 2. Number 3. Or number 4. Anyone that you see. Knowing your purpose gives meaning to your life. When you understand purpose, that is when your life became meaningful. Paul was given a new purpose for living when Christ encountered him. And that begins to make the life of Paul to make meaning. Without God's giving purpose to shaping us, we are driven by destructive influences. Let me say to you, all our lives, everybody that is here, your life is driven by force. Everybody that is here. Our lives are driven by one influence or the other. And I want to put it in two categories because of time. It's either your life is driven by forces to prepare your own glory, or by forces to prepare God's glory. We do karakata, karakata, because somebody says that I want to make 10 million. You know, in a month, that is what is driving your life. You do gragaragada because somebody says that I want to preserve my family's name. All those things are glory. Somebody do gragaragada. I want to build, you know, some 10 duplexes before I reach age 50. You know, and ladies should wear stiletto like this. And then your ekana like ekana asha, you know, you do like this. You know what is driving it? Because I need to get a man. They must see me. That is what is driving your life. We all have various things driving our lives. But the question is either your life is driven by your personal glory or it's driven by the glory of God. Without God's purpose, we are driven by destructive influence. Any other thing that drives our lives besides the glory of God, they are destructive. No matter how good they look, they are destructive. Anything. You know what the Bible says here? This man said, my goal is so that I will win Christ. That's my desire. Who saw? Every day that I wake up, I want to win Christ. I want to be like him. I want to win Christ. I want to be like him. And that's when his life started making me. Before he encountered Christ, his life was being driven by destructive tendencies. Something was driving his life to persecute the church, to persecute believers, to destroy Christians. That was what's driving his life. And those are destructive tendencies. Think about your life, what is driving it. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Without purpose, life has no meaning. Number 3, knowing purpose simplifies your life. See verse 13. And that's why I say underline it, even from last week. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing, hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, say this one thing. Shout it, this one thing. He was able to identify. And when he said one thing, that simplifies his life. A lot of us, we live our life in complexity. You want to be here, you want to be there, you want to do this, you want to do that. You know, when, let me be careful to say this. When you live your life and you encounter frustration, you get tired, you are exhausted. Ladies and gentlemen, probably you haven't located one. You are not living a simple life because you have not discovered one thing. You are here, you are there. You know what he said? He said, but this one thing I do, this is the way I live my life. My life is so simple. The purpose, the dream, the desire is to win Christ. So, my life is simple. Let me give you an example. If I know that my life and my living is to win Christ, then if I have a program that we always be coinciding with Tuesday Bible study, I'm not talking about an occasional thing, but there's a program. You know, I like this Sister Graham that was saying it. He said on Wednesday, There's a TV program. I always want to. There's a TV program. I want to watch that. Yo Yakba Bible study. I will follow it online. Now, that is somebody that has not discovered one thing. If you understood and discovered one thing, you live a simple life. Excuse me, we want to be having this tournament every Tuesday. Between 5 and 7. Oh, get it. Top at you, sort by routine from Lancer. Excuse me, sir. It's not possible. It's not that, I'll go and consider it. I'll come and give you feedback. You know, that all those things that we do. I'll come and give you feedback. Somebody said, I want to call you into an ajo. And in that ajo, you find out that you can only keep that ajo using your tithes. And he said, don't worry. I'm a struggle. That's somebody that has not discovered one thing. Your life is not simple. It's complex. When you see a Christian that is living a complex life, he has not discovered purpose. It's you that we see here. It's you that we see there. It's you that, you know, jumbo. You give excuse all the time. Pastor, on Sunday I will not be able to come. I have somewhere to go. I have something to do. Choir, come for choir rehearsal. You see that Saturday is the day that we go and play. This Emi Omoboye instrumentalist one say, "Mika nso de minio." You know, they play in church, then they play in club, they play kilo there. That is my call. You know, it's my talent. That's why I study in school. So we play everywhere. You see people that they haven't discovered purpose. When purpose is discovered, your life is simple, isn't it? It's like a preacher. I'm a preacher, and I say, come and be giving us motivation. He said, in our club, you know, we do 10 minutes motivational talk every Saturday. There's enough for one look. Motivational speaker. Me as a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher of the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming to motivational speaker. That's somebody has come for. Your life is simple. He said one thing. Again, number four. And that thing you discover from one thing here, listen to me. One thing is talking about focus. One thing is not only talking about a simplified life. Is also talking about focus. In other words, I am focused. Not only focus, when you are focused, then you are intentional. Say to your neighbor, be intentional. A man that is running purpose, they don't do things accidentally. They don't do things accidentally. They don't but they try continue. One try. You are focused. You are intentional. Whether that thing will work out or it will not work out. You understand that? For example, we started this church. And somebody calls me. Are you sure that are you sure that it will work out? Let's start. We are intentional about starting. That's a man that has discovered purpose. We are intentional in anything that you are doing. You want to go for evangelism, you are intentional about it. And say, I go for evangelism every last Saturday. If you want to pray, Sister Gwemi has taught all that. Have a place you pray, have time you pray. A man that has discovered purpose, we do that. We don't need to roll you, wind you, and say, 10 benefits of prayers. So that when you remember, the first benefit is that God will give you money. The second benefit is that God will sell to you. The third benefit is that God will give you a husband. The fourth benefit is that God will give you promotion. The fifth benefit is that you become friend of God. Hey, 10 benefits. A man of purpose, you don't do that. We don't need to wind you. You understand that? Like I was trying to do. You know, I'm using myself as a master and giving you tele. I'm warning you to come to church. A man of purpose does not do that. Whether you see the pastor or you don't see the pastor, a man that is running his race is ever constant. So another thing, meaning by focus, is constancy. So when you are focused, you are intentional. When you discover purpose, you are focused. And then you are constant. You're always there. When you see a yo-yo believer, you see a believer that is out of his race. You see a believer that is out of his race. We haven't seen you in church. Sorry, sir. Pastor, I don't have transport money. There is a man that is not running his race. If you don't have transport money, walk. Jesus was walking. How did he see the fig tree? They were walking, huh? Were they in the SUV that is tainted? If the SUV is tainted, you won't see the victory. They were walking. If Jesus walked, say to your neighbor, if Jesus walked, you too, you can walk. And but I need that song, dearly. There's no money for transport. Walk to church there. We have walked to church before. I said, we didn't see each other. I miss the free transport. I miss the free transport. Is it because of free transport you choose to come to TMA? When you see people like that, you see people that they haven't picked their race. See, Nambanjo, if you tell the Jesus. Ojo banro, emi o tele Jesu. Bina banjo, bojo ro ma tele. Those are the utterances of people that are running their race. When you sit down like this, you put on your canvas, you'll be singing to yourself. Bina banjo, emi o tele Jesu. You are ready to run the race. That was the way this man lived his life. What do you have the first day that Paul entered the church? What do you think would have happened? What do you think would have happened? You know, a born-again Paul, when he entered the church the first time, he did not enter the church alone. Bartimaeus or one of the apostles had to take him along. You know, when he entered church, and I want to call him back. One love by. You know, one share discipleship class. They went this. Pastor Gun, you know, SST love. No, he said, no. It was one soul. Now it's four. Even that service, they didn't do service, closing their eyes. I was in the service, brother. I just want you to imagine it. A soul became a Paul sitting in church. I said, close your eyes. You know, I pray. Wow, did you? Because that man, he can talk to anything. It took a while for them to know that, this man has changed. Are you focused? Are you pursuing one thing? What is your desire? Is it God's desire? Are you running your race? The dash of life. How are you coping? That's the challenge I'm throwing to you. A lot of us have been overwhelmed by our personal problems. We've been overwhelmed. And so, your personal problem and challenges have thrown you out of the race. And gradually, you are losing focus. I want to talk to some ladies here. You get depressed, you get discomfort. You know, the devil knocks your head here and there because you think you should have gotten a man to marry. You run your race. You run your race. Can I say something? Let me make my last point. Because before I make the point, before last, because it's relevant. The purpose, our purpose, is to prepare for eternity. That's another point. Listen, when God made you and he encountered you and you start your race, listen, the ultimate of that race is to make eternity. Oh, somebody said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying the Bible. He said, what shall he profit a man? What shall it profit a man? That's the scriptures. You gain the whole world, but you miss eternity. So that shows the essence of life, the essence of living is eternity. Now listen to the next point I'm going to say. When you run to gain eternity, you will gain the hearts alongside you. When your purpose is to win eternity, you will gain the world as part of it. But when your dream is to gain the heart, you are going to lose eternity. So if you are here and you allow the devil to bang your head, they understand. He said, Bradley, as a guy, he said, where I am, all my mates, they pass beyond me. I should have, at age 45, I should have done this, I should have done that. You haven't understood purpose. A lady, I should have had a man. I should have had two children now. That's why they are rude to me, because I'm not married. That's why they are talking to me. Some people that are married, they want to even run out of the house now. I was recently talking to somebody. He said I want to leave this marriage. But oh, they leave well. He said, didn't I warn you? The day he brought the man, he said, Pastor, but every marriage has their problem, they cope. This is the only problem. Every marriage has a problem. They cope. You must be coping. Because I told you, this man that I'm looking, you see, if you got a man or you got a dancer, bring them to me. I have a gift of. I tell you whether the man is correct. If I told you that a man is correct, honestly, go ask me. But if I tell you that, roll down, hallelujah! Run to win heaven. In the process, you will gain the war. In the process, you gain the war. That was his desire. He said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. said, that is my desire. That's where I want to be. And last point, knowing purpose will keep you motivated. Ladies and gentlemen, we have enough in this world to distract us. More than enough to distract us. More than enough to make us to sit down. More than enough to get us to give up. Can I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, look at me very well. Do not be deceived. A lot of people, including believers, are giving up on a daily basis. A lot of believers are walking out of faith on a daily basis. You know, I have people that I talk to, and people talk to me, so I know the struggles of believers. I know the pain people go through. I know the persecution people go through. I know the fact that life has not been fair, even to some believers. Somebody was talking to me, said, Pastor, I've done everything you got us to do. All night, I've never missed it. Wednesday, fasting, I never missed it. That was immaculate. He said, I've never missed it. You know, he will fast on Wednesday more even than I will fast. He said, Pastor, God has not answered my prayer. He said, now, anything that I do, you must not blame me. I'm only going to do it. He thought that over so he's a Joe, Mama Osunku. Don't do it. Only go and do it. Go and do it. When you do it, maybe your eyes will clear. But listen, when you discover your race, when you know your purpose, you get motivated on a daily basis. You get motivated on a daily basis. I'm a good example. You get motivated. Your purpose will begin to fuel you. Your purpose will begin to strengthen you. Your purpose will begin to say, come on, move on. You can do better. And the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 12, you know, when you are in your race, you have a lot of witnesses that will challenge you. But when you are not in your race, hey, you're on your own. There's nobody that is cheering. They are cheering the people that are running their race. Race that God has set before them. Hebrews chapter 12. That's what he said. He said, run the race that has been set. Then you have a cloud of witness sharing. But if you are running a race that you set for yourself, no cloud of witness. It will be a solo run. It will be a dry run. It will be a frustrating run. And it will be a lonely run. Have you traveled a road before that is quiet? You will drive through the stretch with fear. No car is coming the other way. No car is coming behind you. The only reason you are taking that road is because it's newly constructed. But you are the only one. You drive through the road like this, and your heart will be doing bang, bang, bang. You know, because Fulani can come out. He said, you better see Bonati or Daniel Shabi and Lienya. When you are running a race that is not set for you, that's the type of road you have. And that's when there's no motivation. But when you run a race, there's motivation. Heavens are encouraging you, they are applauding you, they celebrate your win, they encourage you when you fall. When you are getting weary, the ones that have passed through that, you know, Paul, we talk from heaven. You know, Peter, we talk from heaven. James, we talk from heaven. He said, brother, hold on, don't give up. He said, brother, we passed through that part before. He will tell you that be careful. You know, there's going to be turbulence. Have you traveled in the air before? There's going to be turbulence. You know, Paul would have said that. There's going to be turbulence, but don't be afraid. The plane will not come down. When I was driving that road, there was turbulence as well, but I maneuvered it. And so when you are afraid, then they continue to clap. They continue to clap. Do you know that in Olympics, the crowd, they encourage some to win. They encourage some to lose. Why is it they call home advantage? Because in home advantage, you have, you know, the crowd. You have the followers of your club more than the followers of the visiting club. And that's why they say some stadia in the world. You know, if I call my son now, he will tell me all the stadia. Some stadia in the world are more difficult to play, you know, for a away team. Because it's a very large stadium. And then you have very massive occultic followers of certain teams. And so they will not allow even the team of the followers of the visiting team to have any space. It can be so bad sometimes that when they want to play penalty for the opposing team, they will shine, what is that light that will blind people's eyes? That Lord was it. Laser. They will put laser like this so that the player, you know, when laser enter your eyes, the penalty will rebound. Oh, the kini okan badaruni. Some teams have that kind of occulting followership. That's what the Bible is saying here. He said you have a cloud of witness. Oh, glory to Jesus. When you are running your race, you have encouragers, both from heaven, both from the heart. And that's why you should get on the stock and begin, you know, to your own race before the time be too late. You know something? Let me round up by saying this to you, ladies and gentlemen, that if you don't get to begin your race now, the day will come, you want to get on the starting block. You find out that bones are weak. You find out that the eyes are weak. You find out that the legs are weak. And you really want to run, but it's late. May you never discover purpose when it is late. Let me say two things to you, and then I get out of your face. Number one, that you will give account of from the last day. God will ask you. You will say, what do you do with Christ? That's question number one. Believe me, God is going to ask you. God will say, I sent my son. What did you do with it? You remember the parable I read here some other time? That a master, he lent his vineyard to some people. And then he went and said, okay, give me money. At least I've lent you the vineyard. The Bible says that they beat the first servant. And then he sent some other servant. The Bible said they beat, you know, those servants. And then sent the third. They beat. I said, okay, now, let me send my son. You know, at least they should respect my son. They should honor my son. But the Bible says this time around, they did not only beat the son, they killed the son. What are you doing with Jesus? God is going to ask you. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the least you can do is to accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. If you are here this morning, you are not born again. You haven't gotten to the starting line. If we ask you, what did you do with my son? I sent my only son, he died for you. His blood took care of your sin. And the brokenness of the flesh heal your diseases. What did you do with Jesus? That day, your grammar will not deliver you. That day, your phonetics will not deliver you. If you know how to lie, that day you will no longer be able to lie. You have a chance this morning. Accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. The second question that you will have to answer on that day, God will ask you, what did you do with all the privileges I gave you? All that I gave you, what did you do with it? God will say, I gave you talent. What did you do with the talent? God will say, I gave you time. What did you do with the time? God will say, I gave you a house. What did you do with the house? I gave you opportunity to pass multiple exams. What did you do with it? God will ask you, everything I bless you with, what did you do with it? God is not interested when I open my eyes on the other side. He's not interested whether I'm a medical doctor. He's not going to be interested whether you're an architect. You can't say to him that I'm an engineer. What God will say is that you're a medical doctor. What did you do with your certificate? You're an architect. What did you do with that qualification? You're an engineer. What did you do with engineering? What did you do? How did you live? What did you live for? That's going to be the answer you are going to answer on that day. When you open your eyes, yonder, and that time it will be late. You won't be able to go back. That man, when he entered his eyes, he said, Lord, Can you send somebody to go to my family? Where I am, I don't want them to come. And God says, late. I can't send anybody here. Who am I going to send there? The people that I've been talking to them for years, they did not believe them. Even if I send somebody from here, they did not believe. When Jesus was walking on the surface of the earth, you have people that did not believe all the same. You need to do something today. Answer the question. What have I done with Jesus? Answer the question now before God will ask you. What are you doing now with all that God has given you? I have a precious brother. He came to me. He said, Pastor, please, what can I do? What can I do? I can't go for NYC now. They are postponing it. He said, I don't want to be sitting at home. Pastor, what can I do? I see somebody that understands purpose. He understands time. Because God will have the time that you have. How do you use it? I wonder what you say that day. I said, God, it is the phone that you gave me. I was on Twitter. I was on TikTok. I was on WhatsApp. You know that some of us, we add up the time you spent on all those garments in your life. It will be about 3 months of every 12 months. And your life is wasting. Your destiny is being wasted. I have to go, but you need to think. And please, Father, help, ladies and gentlemen. This morning, think about Jesus and think about your life. Think about your life and think about eternity. What are you going to say? We beg some of you to come to church. We even provide free transport for you. We are trying to help you. What are you doing with your life? You have anybody here that wants to rededicate his life? I know you are born again, but this word has caught your heart. You discover that you are not living purpose. You want to rededicate your life. Just wave your hand to Jesus where you are seated. I don't have time, and I'm not here to beg anybody. Just find out, Lord, I need to make adjustments. I need to make adjustments. You want to rededicate your life? Just wave the hand to the Lord. And say, oh, there's a need for me. An urgent need for me to rededicate my life. An urgent need for me to rededicate my life. Just wave the hand. Let me pray with you very quickly. Just wave your hand. Are you here? You're not born again. There's no day you can say, I gave my life to Jesus. There's no day that you can take as the day you gave your life to Jesus. Can you wave your hand to the Lord? You want to be born again. You want to give your life to Jesus. There's a need to be born again. And you want to do it now. Wave your hands. Just lift your hand very quick. Let me pray with you. Just lift the hand very quick. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now please all rise to our feet. Very quickly. Place your right hand over your chest. And speak to Jesus. Word of commitment. Speak to Jesus. Word of commitment. Any area of your race that you have found wanting, please ask for Jesus to help you this morning. You can only run with Jesus. You can't run alone. You can only run with Jesus. Just raise your hand on your chest and ask for fresh grace for the journey. You don't want to be weary. You don't want to give up. You don't want to fall off. Just speak to Jesus. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to run my race. Help me to run my race. And if you are here, you haven't located the race. Lord, help me to locate my race. That my life will not be a waste. That I will not be an unprofitable servant. I don't want to be an unprofitable servant. I don't want to live a wasted life. At the end of the day, when it is written on my epitaph, When the dash is filled, I want it to be written. Here lies a man that loved and served Jesus. That's what I want to be written. Here lies a man that loved and served Jesus. That should be your desire. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Breathe upon us, Lord. Breathe upon us. Fill us until we become full. Feed us and let us be hungry again. As you fill us, let there be hunger in our souls once again. As you feed us, let us desire you once again, Lord. Let us be satisfied with the dissatisfaction that needed to be satisfied again. We want you. We desire you. We want you, Lord. We desire you. At the end of the day, we wouldn't have run somebody else's race. We will run our race. We will serve purpose. We'll not be weary. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Equip us, Lord. So that at the end of the day, you will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Haven't walked. You will say to us, enter into the rest of your Father. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people say, amen. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord.